Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets, joined once again by Dr. Kirk Elliott. Whoa, what a wild day. Silver is on a tear. We have been calling this for a long time, and now it is on.
Well, it's bonkers. Literally one of the busiest days we've had ever, I think. I mean, it's just
wow.
Here's where, when we look back, and I remember you and I were doing shows, silver was kind of coming down, retracing a little bit, and we said if it hit 22, it was either going to blow through it on the way down, or it was going to hit it like a trampoline and start to bounce up. Hit it like a trampoline and bounce up, because 22 is a major support level. Well, then it kind of went up and it hit 25 and came down, hit 25 and came down. That 25 was a big resistance point because it was the 15-year moving average. So then we said, if it blows past 25, that old ceiling becomes our new floor, right? So blew past 25, never going back there, you know, anytime soon, if ever, right? Because now it's so far above 25 that it hit the last of the resistance points that we have, which is 30. So 30, I was expecting us to actually have some bounce off of that, right? You know, come down.
Right.
Because it hit 2960 something like a week and a half ago, came right down, and then it's like, okay, it's going to go up and do the same kind of thing as it did at the 25 level, but it did not. So this morning when I came in, it opened the day at like 2970. As we speak and do this show, we're at 3150 plus. So we're up 6.03% today, right? So silver's up like $1.78 or something like that. But here's what's interesting. When you blew past that old support near the resistance point, that now becomes the new floor. So for everybody who's been waiting on the edges, oh, did I miss the boat? Is it too high? Man, it's above 30. It's like there's no more resistance points really until we hit 48, which is the old high in 2011. Right. So I think at this point that 30 becomes our new floor rather than the old ceiling. And there isn't any more of those little pieces that we really have to stumble around, you know, wondering if we're going to get through it or not, you know, but because it blew so far past it. Right. And so here's where 3 days ago, to put this into perspective, when people purchase from us, it's 8% cost of ownership, 0% when you liquidate. Today, silver went up 6%. The last 2 days. So people who purchased silver 3 days ago, they're already at a profit point. They've already gone through the 8% commission / cost of ownership piece, and they're now at a profit point in 3 days, right? Yeah. So I remember back to 2011 when silver went from 12 to 48 in a six-month span because of similar fundamentals that we're having now, which are inflationary pressures, low supply at the depository level, geopolitical mayhem. It was coming off the 2009 collapse. You had the Dodd-Frank bill, and there's just a lot of political mudslinging, horrible bills being passed, TARP legislation, right? All this junk, right? All this junk caused silver to go from 12 to 48 in 6 months. We're seeing very similar fundamental forces propelling silver right now, with one big, huge, dramatic difference. Mm. The demand, manufacturing demand for silver is way more than it was back then. Because, you know, you've always had Department of Defense stuff and aerospace industry missiles and torpedoes that you talk about quite a bit. But solar power wasn't a big thing back then. Electric vehicles weren't even in somebody's dream yet back then. And all the fuel cell technology that's needed, all the electronics that need silver, the global demand for silver, even in a sluggish economy, is through the roof, Michael. It's through the roof. So here's where I'm excited for everybody that's gotten in, you know, and they're already just now participating in this growth. But for everybody that's getting in, because the fundamentals that cause this are stronger than they've ever been. So I'm looking at Goldman Sachs CEO, Solomon, what's his first name? David Solomon, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, said that we are facing a massive ballooning debt cost to America, and the interest payments on our ballooning debt now exceeds spending on defense and Medicare. Just the interest only payments. See, this is bonkers. So through the first, I don't know what month is it? So the first five months of this year, we're at interest payments already are at $514 billion. Oh, I'm sorry. This is for the fiscal year. So this is 7 months, $514 billion. We're on pace for $1 trillion in interest only payments for this fiscal year. Michael, that would surpass like every other budget item that we have. This is out of control. The spending's out of control. Now you've got CEO of Goldman Sachs sounding that warning bell. It's like, okay, this is possibly over. You've got now Speaker of the House Johnson, which I don't really care what he says anymore because he's flip-flopping all the time. It's like, who even knows who that guy is? But yet he's saying that this is unsustainable. So you've got members of the House which are doing this. Now, because of that, you've got states that are starting to do some really amazing things. So earlier in the week, on I think it was Monday or maybe Tuesday, Nebraska just signed a bill that said when you sell or liquidate gold or silver, there's no income tax, no state income tax in Nebraska if you sell it. Then Representative Mooney from West Virginia, U.S. representative, and now has legislation, you know, pending or submitted to actually eliminate sale or income tax on all gold and silver at the federal level. So imagine no capital gains, no income tax, right? This was because why? They view it as the Constitution views money, which was gold and silver coinage. That's what the Constitution said. That's what our founding fathers envisioned. They didn't want a central bank that basically printed money out of thin air because they knew, oh, centralize that and you've got way too much power in the hands of too few people and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So we've got states that are rising up. Then, so the evil mad scientists, Harari, from the World Economic Forum, literally that dude's evil. He said something in an interview this week at the World Economic Forum that blew my mind. I mean, so last week, a video blew my mind, which was Bernstein, Jared Bernstein, the chief of the Council on Economic Advisors for Biden, bumbling around with his words, didn't even know if we sold bonds in America, didn't know how he said, well, we borrow money, we print money, and he doesn't get it, right? He didn't get it. But watch this video. Oh, you've got it. So let's watch this video about what Harari is saying, because it is absolutely mind-boggling.
As a historian, I don't like it, because this is a money built on distrust. The central idea of Bitcoin is basically electronic gold. And we don't trust the banks, the governments, so we don't want to give them the ability to create as much money as they like. So we create this Bitcoin. It's a currency of distrust. I just think that the future belongs to the electronic money, but what we've seen over the last centuries is that it's actually a good idea to give banks and governments the ability to create more and more money in order to build more trust within society. So,
oh, this guy is gaslighting big time, isn't he?
Oh, my word. So get a load of what he said. He said, so the first part I agree with, Bitcoin is a currency of distrust. It is. You know, why do you have decentralized blockchain cryptocurrency? Because people don't trust the government. They want something that's private. And in a sense, he said it's digital gold, right? And so let's analyze that. So precious metals and cryptocurrency, to me, have the same two fundamental forces that cause their growth. Number one, people like cryptocurrency because it's private, you know, decentralized blockchain is private, and it provides a promise for extraordinary growth. But What does gold and silver do? It's a private transaction that provides a platform for extraordinary growth. I mean, look what silver's doing today, up 6% in one day. I mean, this is incredible. So the fundamental forces between the two are very similar. Now, what's dissimilar? Crypto can be shut off with a flip of a switch. And it's like people will say, Kirk, that's not true. It's decentralized. It's like, oh yeah, how do you buy it? You generally buy it through a central exchange like Coinbase. And Coinbase can block you from taking your money out. Or they can throttle it, saying, okay, you can only take out $5,000 a month or something like that. But what happened with Russia is anybody with a Russian IP address, they got blocked from their Coinbase wallet last year. And it's like, well, that means, so it's like people say, well, so what, Kirk? It's Russia. They're at war with Ukraine. And, you know, mainstream media says that that's evil and Ukraine is good. And so, of course, they should block them. But, okay, so what about if you have a domestic terrorist label, like Students for Life of America, right? So
yeah.
Kristen Hawkins of that group, you know, they peacefully protest and pray at abortion clinics. That's what, you know, it's right of free speech. But they're now labeled domestic terrorists. So could they block them off? Sure. Could they block you off if they think that you are politically opposed to the globalist movement? Sure they could. Look what happened in Canada with the truckers, right?
Yeah, I have a friend, Brad Wozni, who does a lot of shows on Rumble. And they not only did they seize all his crypto, but also his bank accounts and all the people that were in his organization that were involved in it. So, yeah, they can come in and take. That's another reason why we're telling people to get out of the banks, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, gold and crypto have the same fundamental forces. Now, people go into those things because they distrust the government. I agree with Harari on that one. What I disagree with him on is the stupid, dumb statement that let's give central banks the ability to print a bunch of money because that will generate trust. It's like, okay, creating more inflation is going to generate trust. Are you out of your mind? So I was thinking about it, and it's like, okay, he's not.
The central bank digital currency is going to be safe, not the cryptocurrency.
So here's what he's actually, I think that he's saying, because he might be crazy, but I think he's a smart guy. So, and he might be evil. That doesn't mean you're stupid, right? It just means you're evil. So here's what I think he's saying. When you give central banks the ability to print money, what is that money used for? Stimulus, raise the debt ceiling, handouts, guaranteed universal income, something like that, right? So he's misusing the word people trust the government because they can print money and create inflation to, hey, I will tolerate you because you're giving me free stuff. That's different than trust, right? That's completely different. It's like, yo, okay, I might not like your policies. I don't trust you any farther than I can spit, but I'm not going to say anything because you're giving me basic universal guaranteed income, right? It's like, okay, that's different than trust. I think that's what he's saying. Is you give the government the ability to create inflation, print money like there's no tomorrow, and you're going to satisfy a population of, it's going to sound rude, but parasites that want to live off the government.
Right.
Because that's what a welfare state is all about. That's what I think he wants. And in a central bank digital currency world, this is where we're headed. So I think that this is so evil. Because I just saw this video on the C40 cities agenda and these 15-minute cities, right? So there's one in Phoenix that just basically got finished. No cars. What's the rationale behind a 15-minute city? That you can walk, no vehicles, no carbon emissions, but you can walk anywhere and get your amenities, your services, whether it's the gym, the grocery store. I guess you don't need a gas station, but any place you can walk in 15 to 20 minutes. So what is the goal behind this? The goal is not necessarily to get rid of carbon emissions. The goal is actually to corral people, and you are going to have to get a permit to leave the district that you're in, right? So how would they know if you're leaving the district that you're in? By looking at your bank account. Where are you spending money, right? So this is where these ridiculous cities, which sound a lot like Nazi Germany to me, right? Where, okay, you have the Polish citizens that were all in this district behind these fences. You have the other, the Dutch Jews that were sitting behind this fence, and you couldn't leave, right? So they
can... The total Hunger Games scenario.
It is like Hunger Games. You can't leave the district without a permit, but that's their goal. But how do you monitor that? With a bank account, right? Because they'll know where you're spending. They just won't let you leave. They won't let you spend any money if you're outside of that geolocation area. I mean, to me, it's all coming together in a horrible way where they need central bank digital currency to be the linchpin of all these ridiculously intrusive anti-freedom policies that this younger crowd thinks this is amazing. We're all hippies and we love it that there's no cars and we can just walk around and play games with each other. And, what a ridiculous utopia, but it's going to be all about people control. And they might start it off as nice, positive messaging, but the moment that they don't want you to leave the walls of your district, it's basically communist dictatorship at that point.
Now, I think that basically people aren't buying it. So,
yeah.
As you can see today, the price of silver is up massively. We had talked about this. You know, we're going to start to see dollar days and then $2 days and then $5 days. $5 days aren't here yet, but we're almost at $2 day. So right now it's up 6.21%, almost at its high, which is 31.67. So 31.64 right now. So push it to the last, 40 minutes of trading, might see a big push to 6.32. So that'd be nice because we're basically going to start taking out all of these different blocks. So you see today the volume is up. It's up nicely. And then you go back, we had yesterday, it was kind of like a sideways day. So like we talked about in the past, you would see crypto, because yesterday, or not crypto, but silver, go up and touch a certain key level and then pull back, and it was down for days or weeks. And sometimes it would take a while for it to get back up. Now it's like it pulls back for the day, like yesterday, and now it punched through 30 bigly. All right. So it's that $30 was, as we talked about, was a short position area. Now, if you look at, let's see if I can pull up this next one. Is that showing? Probably not. Let me switch the screen here. So if we look at the long-term chart, let me pull this up. Sorry, I'm doing my first share with, I think this is a long-term one. No, this is a long, that's a short-term one. I just had a, so just bear with me just a little bit. Stop that, remove that. Let's go over here, settings again. So I haven't, shared on Rumble yet. So that's why it's taking me a little bit. But here we go. I think I got it this time. So long term, if we look back all the way to, the 70s, which I'm going to show you guys in a second, you'll see that the level of I think it's this one. All right, perfect. All right, so this is a longer term chart. It's a daily. It shows that we're hitting that peak right now. We have to go all the way back to 2011. So we're like a 11 years back before we've seen, or 12 years back or whatever. No, it's 13. January 13 was the last time we were at 31, this level. So we're looking at, quite a few years back before we've hit this level. So it's not like a 52-week high we're hitting right now. It's a 11-year high. So it's pretty impressive. And this is going to continue. Now, if we go up here, you see this level that, that my cursor's on right here. This is like the 35 level. We'll probably get a little resistance in there, probably a pullback, because usually a peak and a drop from that peak usually creates like a floor. You bump your head against a floor and you finally eventually work your way past it, and then it becomes your floor going forward. So that's what we're going to see with 30 right now. So that's probably going to be our floor going up, going forward. So if we go back, you know, through, let's see, let's make this a weekly. That way we can go back a little bit further out. So see, all the way back into the 80s. And the 80s, basically, we had that peak. And then we had another peak in the in 11. So we're gonna blast past both these. And that's going to give us the new, floors. We're going to hit new ceilings, and that's going to be, you know, the future. So 20,000 gold, some people are predicting that. So if you look at silver to gold ratio, like we talked about, right now it's around 80. Normally it's like 15-10%. So you're looking at silver that's going to be, you know, $1,000, $1,500, maybe $2,000. Because that's what we're moving towards.
I mean, even if it's 10% of that, it's a couple hundred dollars ounce silver, right? So here's where, when you get this massive fuel that's fueling all commodities prices across the globe, like copper is going through the roof, gold, silver going through the roof, right? So why is that? Because of political tensions and inflationary pressures and supply. And those are the three things that would actually cause, you know, the political pressures and electronics demand. That's part of the demand side. Supply, it's just running out. But boy, we've got this ridiculous short position too. So I read the Commitment of Traders report last week, and guess how many ounces of silver are short right now as of last Friday? 568 million ounces. Okay. 568 million ounces of silver in short position. So that means the evil commercial banks are going to be squeezed out. That's way too many naked shorts. 568 million ounces of naked shorts. Is on that Commitment of Traders report. So what happens when the price of silver goes up and you have naked shorts? You lose money hand over fist. This is why the day before the drones flew from Iran to Israel, China encouraged all of its citizens to start buying silver instead. They want to squeeze out, get rid of the supply, knowing that there's all these short positions that the Western banks have initiated. So when the price goes up, they lose money hand over fist. China starts winning the war against America without ever firing a bullet, right? So this is what I think is happening. There's no way, when you move that much, that quickly, when they have short positions, that they're not losing money hand over fist.
And that's when you see this big move upwards, when the shorts are covering. And I think that's what's happening.
I do right too.
Now. Yeah.
Yep, they've got to be covering. And that means to cover all of those 568 million ounces of naked shorts, I think this is going to have some legs. You don't do that all in one day. Right. Because they don't have enough money. They simply don't have enough money to do that. Because what's 568 million times $31 an ounce? I mean, that's way too much for the banks to actually start to cover. When they've got other expenses and they've got other capital constraints and they've got delinquencies and defaulting loans and derivatives debt exposure in the tens of trillions of dollars. Like Goldman Sachs has over $50 trillion. JPMorgan Chase has over $50 trillion. Bank of America is around $30 trillion in derivatives debt. See, now you add this being in the wrong trend at the wrong time with multiplied losses. I think this is could be the beginning, Michael, just looking at the fundamentals, and obviously I'm not God, I don't control the market, I'm not a prophet, but just looking at this stuff, it's like, I think we're on the verge of a massive series of bank failures coming as they start to get squeezed out on something like silver. So how do you benefit from that? own the stuff that they're getting squeezed out of. If you own the supply, you get to take advantage of the price growth, where they're betting that it's going down for political reasons. I mean, if you're the military and you need 11,000 ounces of silver per torpedo or missile, what are you going to have like groups like the Silver Institute do? Try to get the price of silver to come down. This is why there's been manipulation on the markets for decades, because the military industrial complex needed cheaper silver to fund the apparatus, you know, with low-cost silver for all these torpedoes and missiles and everything else. Well, here's the problem with that. You can't manipulate forever, because when supply runs out, supply runs out. And that's where we are. And then their game is over. But it's not just over. They lose money hand over fist when you've got short positions and the price goes up. I mean, this is going to be devastating for the banks. Devastating. It's also going to be very expensive for the military to fund these things when we're in a war economy right now. Like Martin Armstrong says, you know, we've got wars everywhere. Missiles are flying all the time. Every time one of those big, heavy ones goes off, it's like 11,000 ounces of silver. It's a lot of silver, right? So anyways, I think as we move forward, perfect time to start allocating into that strength, take advantage of the short supply, take advantage of the massive demand, take advantage of situations that neither you nor I can control, but we can sure identify and participate in the solution. That's what we're here to help do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to share some of the stuff that's out there, the Silver Academy has given us some real good insights. You look at the pretty much the silver crisis gained 6% last week. Silver imports just in India alone, all-time high in 2022 was 9,450 tons, I believe that is. And then last quarter, it was 34, or last year, it was 30 for the whole year, 3,475 tons. So far in the first quarter, 3,730 tons. That's just for the first quarter. So it's like a giant sucking sound right now. All the silver is leaving the West and going east. So they're getting ready to basically, like you talked about, you know, take down, you know, the United States without firing a shot by taking out, you know, us financially. Financially, if you don't have the wherewithal to, you know, pay silver for all these torpedoes and so forth, and all this industrial military complex structure, because they've been getting away with murder for a long time at our expense by keeping silver suppressed, massive suppression. And now those shorts are getting squeezed and it's going to really take off. So if you look at gold's long-term price, like I was talking about, the price structure is pointing towards 20,000, which is 10x like it was in the 70s. $600 was the price in the early 70s. It went all the way up to 1,000. So another 10x coming for gold. And then, of course, silver is right behind that very quickly. So it's going to be very, very interesting going forward.
I agree.
Prices. So also today, like you were talking about, or you know, it's over 6%. But if you look at 5-day right now, I'm looking at the chart, and it's up 11%. 3 months, 34%, almost 35% in just 3 months. So very, very happy day, you know, because we've been saying this for a long time. You know, get into silver. Now it's starting to you know, materialize on a massive level. So what do you see going forward?
Well, I see very little resistance points. You know, you had mentioned there's a little one, you know, in the mid 30s. That's not a major resistance point though. So I think we probably kind of blow through that, might have a little stubbornness. But then I think over the next 6 to 9 months, you could see silver test its old high. And then I think it just goes past that, and then sky's the limit. You know, you like what I've been forecasting for a couple of years is 75 to 100. Other people, Bitswear, Bo Polny, you know, saying okay, probably mid 100s, like 600 plus.
Yeah,
that to me is a big stretch in people's minds. But here's the thing. When you run out of silver and you need it for military purposes, you need it for aerospace, You need it for electronics. You need it for solar. These manufacturers, it's not like the LCD TV behind me, the 60-inch TV, is 100% silver. Now, I don't know how much is in it, maybe an ounce or two. I have no idea how much silver is in there, but I know that there's silver in the circuit boards, right? So they don't care. These manufacturers aren't going to care how much the price is. They just know without it, they can't have a finished product. Because let's say there's 2 ounces of silver and there's none available. Say, okay, we'll offer $80 an ounce. We'll offer $100. We'll offer $150. Doesn't matter. We're just going to raise prices and pass it on to the consumer anyways. Doesn't cost the manufacturers anything, right? Because cost of goods going up, so is the retail price. So here's where I think the demand for manufacturing silver could actually cause it to go $150, $200, $300. I mean, without me even having to stretch my thought patterns on that, we could get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason, one of the reasons why is because, you know, we're going to see the collapse, I think, of the dollar. That's going to cause a massive acceleration of silver. Way past, like, and you just gave all the reasons, because silver is a massive industrial metal. And like we've talked about in the past, it's moving into, because electric cars were the big thing, but we're going to see hydrogen cars, I think, going forward, because they're far more efficient. And they have gone from using platinum to silver now as a more efficient and cost-effective means, at this point anyway, of, you know, creating the battery or the wherewithal to create the hydrogen. So yeah, definitely going forward, we're going to see this. We're going to see this on a massive level.
I do too. Take advantage of it. Give us a call and let's get you allocated into strength, because you haven't missed the boat at all. I don't think you've missed the boat at all. I think it's continued to those lofty levels that we just talked about. In the end, you're not going to care if you got in at 22, 25, 28, 30, 35. You're really not going to care when we see where silver is going.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I don't know why I never did, but I watched this video today. I got tingles, almost got tears. That's a really good video. So I recommend everybody to go to kepm.com /Jayco and watch just that video. It's going to inspire you. Well done. So you got the great team, like you talked about. You've had the busiest day in your history, but look how big you've created, how big your team is. I mean, it was a fraction of this when we first started talking, and you had the insight and you had the knowledge looking forward that you were going to need a massive team, and massive kudos to you for having them available. A lot of people right now are looking at the stock market going up and saying, yeah, my IRA and everything is good. You're going to see this stock market turn around and crash at a rate that it's going to blow your mind. If you're not in silver, please, we've been telling you this for a while, convert at least some of your assets to silver. Because especially you guys that are, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if it crashes, I'll recover. But if you're like, you know, baby boomer, you're in your 60s now, you need that IRA going forward. And if it disappears, which it's very, very possible will happen, I strongly, strongly recommend you get put your assets in silver, at least some of them. Now, I was looking at your information on storage. I love that. So very, very good information, you guys, on storage, because a lot of people are out there saying, if you don't own it, if you don't have it, you don't own it. That's not true. That's not true. If you have a large if you have lots of assets, if you're in the $1 million category or above, you need your asset somewhere that's safe. Like, for instance, if the baddies knew that you had a big store of silver in your house, what do you think they're going to do? If a fire happens, are you going to be covered? No. So that's the beauty of, you know, having it stored, very low cost, and also you're covered by Lloyd's.
I mean, huge thing. I mean, I don't store any of mine at home.
No,
it happened at the depository. It's just
nice. I do have a little bit just in case the world ends.
I mean, I have.
And then after migration escape.
But I got like $400 at home, but I'd hardly even count that because that's nothing compared to what's stored, right? Which is when it comes time to lock in profits, I don't want to have to get U-Hauls and, you know, go to the post office and ship things back.
Right.
I mean, I'm too busy. It's too cumbersome. It's too much to have on you in this world where...
Yeah, do you have a SIL to go with you to protect your assets? Or do you take it to ship it? Or
I mean, like, yeah, so
start
where when it's time to lock in your profits, quick little phone call, boom, lock it in, done. Right? Done. So that's it. I mean, I just locked it in. You didn't have to go box it up, haul it off, you know, have the post office people saying, what's in those boxes? And, you know, it's just more private this way. So that's why I store it.
Yep, absolutely. So people over profit, like you always talk about, and contact kepm.com/JACO. And then the phone number is 720-605-3900. So the phones are like blowing up at your place. And you know what I love about you, you basically moved into a very historic building, beautiful place. So, you know, you're doing all the right things. You got a big space, and it's a beautiful space, and you have a big team. Wow. So good.
Love it. I'm blessed because of them. They're an amazing team.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Elliott, thanks so much for coming on. We always appreciate your insights. Great show, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Sounds good, brother. We'll see ya.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.